Today's daf is Zvachin daf Chaf Aleph. We are holding on daf Chaf Amid Beis. We are back by Ibayiluhu. The Gemara is going to raise the question about whether Tumah ruins Kiddush Yadayim Raglayim. We were discussing yesterday whether leaving the Azara would ruin the Kiddush Yadayim Raglayim, would require a new Kiddush Yadayim Raglayim. We were discussing whether Lina would ruin the Kiddush Yadayim Raglayim, having a new day come. What if a person does Kiddush Yadayim Raglayim and then becomes Tameh? We'll see in the Gemara whether it's his hands that become Tameh or his whole body that becomes Tameh. Will that Tumah ruin the Kiddush Yadayim Raglayim? Then the Gemara is going to discuss whether dipping hands in the kiyar works for Kiddush Yadayim Raglayim. Certainly washing the hands from the water of the kiyar pouring over one's hands, that certainly counts as Kiddush Yadayim Raglayim. What about just dipping your hands into the kiyar? Does that count as Kiddush Yadayim Raglayim? Then the Gemara is going to have three opinions on the bottom of Chaf Aleph Amud Aleph about when the kiyar needs to be meshuka, it needs to be sunken underground in the well water in order not to passel the waters for Kiddush Yadayim Raglayim. So we're sort of shifting back to the discussion of Lina B'mei HaKiyar rather than Lina on the Kiddush Yadayim Raglayim, that the Mei HaKiyar themselves being out overnight will passel them. But what does overnight mean? Does it mean Shkia Sachama? Does it mean Alos HaShachar? When does it have to be underground in order to avoid the problem? We're going to have three different shitos. And then what the Gemara is going to reconcile seemingly contradicting shitos of Rabbi Yochanan, whether the Shikua is necessary all night, whether it needs to be sunk in underground all night. And then we're going to discuss the Shita of Rav Chista. According to Rav Chista, there's no mitzvah shikua that it doesn't need to be sunk in underground at all. If that's the case, how do we explain the Beferish of Mishnah in Tamid that tells us that the noise of the sinking of the kiyar would attract attention? What do you mean? What kind of attention? What kind of noise? There was no sinking of the kiyar according to Rav Chista. And then if we get to it, we'll see if we do. But at the very end of the daf, the Gemara is going to begin a discussion about the size and type of kli that can be used for Kiddush Yadayim V'Raglayim. I mean, how big does the kli have to be? And can it be a kli chol? And how does it have to be set up in order to do Kiddush Yadayim V'Raglayim with such a kli? So let's begin again back on Chaf Amud Beis at Ibayiluhu. So says the Gemara Ibayiluhu. Tuma, if a Kohen was Mekadish Yadav V'Raglav, and then at this point, the Gemara is assuming his hands become Tameh. He touches one of the things that are Tameh, Asayadayim, Maushatoil, the Kiddush Yadayim Raglayim. Does that Tumah passel his Kiddush Yadayim Raglayim? The term Shatoil over here means that it will have an effect, it will make an impact in a negative way, that it will negatively impact his Kiddush Yadayim Raglayim, and therefore he's going to require a new Kiddush Yadayim Raglayim. So the previous discussion was whether his leaving the Azara is going to make a negative impact on his Kiddush Yadayim Raglayim. Now we're discussing whether Tumah is going to make the impact. So says Marim Tim Tzalomer Yitzia Lo Pasla De Gavr Chazi. If you're going to say that leaving the Azara is not going to be ruin his Kiddush Yadayim Raglayim, because the Kohen who leaves the Azara is still ratui to do the Avodah, all he's got to do is go back inside, so we assume that he wasn't Masiach Das from his Kiddush Yadayim Raglayim, and he's not possible to do the Avodah. Aval Hacha De Gavr Lo Chazi, but maybe this is worse, because once his hands become Tameh, he is no longer ratui for the Avodah, and maybe therefore Asuche Mesach Daite, he's going to have a Hesch Hadas from his Kiddush Yadayim Raglayim, and that therefore is going to passel his Kiddush. That Hesch Hadas is going to passel his Kiddush. So even if he is matbil his Yadayim in order to get rid of the Tumas Yadayim, maybe he has to do, in addition to being matbil Yadayim, he has to do another Kiddush Yadayim Raglayim because of Hesch Hadas. O Dilma, or maybe what's the other side? The other side is that since he knows that he's able to be tovel ziyadayim and go do the avodah, so he'll be very careful not to be masiach das, and therefore he'll avoid any sort of tinuf on the Adayim. He'll avoid anything that would constitute as chadas on the Adayim and anything that could ruin his Adayim. So it's a little bit unclear. What's going on over here? What is this second tzad? That because he knows that he can always be tovel Yadayim, so he's not going to ruin his Yadayim? Aren't we talking about a case where his Yadayim are already ruined? That his Yadayim are already Tameh? So what does it mean? He's not going to be Masiach Das. From the Yadayim that are already Tameh, what? That they shouldn't get more tumah on the yadayim. So the way Rashi understands it, Rashi sounds like it's not talking about tumah at all. We're talking about not to be mesiach das, to get his hands dirty. If it were about tina, if it were about tumah in a chinami, the hands are already tameh. The issue over here is that since he knows that his hands are already tameh, but it's so easy to fix the tumah, you could just be tovel yadayim. He's going to be careful not to get his hands dirty. So the Brisker Rav just points out that you see over here that touching a davar matunaf is going to passel the kiddush adayim raglayim. The Gemara in Yuma says on Daf Lamed that if nitzotzos mei raglayim are kamal raglav, he has to be mekadesh adayim raglayim again. So the Brisker Rav says also over there, what does tinuf have to do with kiddush adayim raglayim? Kiddush adayim raglayim is about tahara. It's not about cleanliness. Even if you're going to say that for avoda you do need cleanliness, like you do for tefillah and for Talmud Torah, so if you touch something that's dirty, you're going to have to clean it off. But that has nothing to do with the chalos of Kiddush Adayim Raglayim. Kiddush Adayim Raglayim is about some more mystical and less physical kind of thing. Kiddush Adayim Raglayim has nothing to do with Nikiyus. Mehechi Tesi, that dirtiness is going to be Mvatel Kiddush Adayim Raglayim. And the Brisker Rav points out, the Rambam, the sixth paragraph of Hilchos Brachos, tells us about Netilas Yadayim for a Su'uda. What does Rambam say? That Kola Ochel Hapas Shemavarchim Lav Amotzi, Sarich Netilas Yadayim, that anyone who eats bread that you're going to say amotzi on, you need to do Netilas Yadayim. V'yaf al pi shein yadav meluch lachos, and even though your hands aren't dirty, you need to do Netilas Yadayim. Briskrov says, what's the havamina? The whole issue is mishum srach truma because of tumis adayim. So what's the havamina that this would have anything to do with whether your hands are dirty or not? It's got nothing to do with dirtiness. So the Briskrov suggests that even though lichlechei adayim is not the reason we are mesakein netila, it's not the reason that there's a requirement of kiddush adayim raglayim, but nevertheless, it is a reason to say that the netila will be nullified, that a previous netila or a previous kiddush that was done will be nullified as a result of dirty hands. Because in the takarim netila siyadayim, chazal mesakein, that you need yodov netulos, you need hands that have already been washed, and anytime your hands are dirty, they lose the shame yadav netulos. So it may not have been the cause of the gzera, but it does have the capacity to ruin the gzera. So that's what we're talking about. That's chadas that Rashi over here raises, that you'll be masiach das from the kiddush from your yadayim, and therefore they may come in contact with something that's tameh, there's something that's dirty rather, and that's going to ruin the kiddush yadayim raglayim. So okay, so that's our shaila now. Our shaila is a kohen had done Kiddush Yadayim Raglayim and then his hands became tameh. So does he need a new Kiddush Yadayim Raglayim? Tashma, the Gemara says, we'll bring a raya. The Braisa tells us Kiddush Yadav Ragla v'nitmu'u matbilon ve'in sarich lekadesh. If a person did Kiddush Yadayim Raglayim and they became tameh, he's tovel them and then he doesn't have to do another Kiddush Yadayim Raglayim. So you see very clearly that Tumas Yadayim is not going to pass the previous Kiddush. You don't need to do another Kiddush. It's black on white. Says Gemara, you're right. It is black on white. Nitmu yadav lomi baila. And that's why that was not our shaila. Our shaila was not what happens if your hands become tameh. Does it ruin your previous kiddush adayim raglayim? Kimi baila nitma kol gufo. The shaila was, what happens if nitma kol gufo? What happens if your whole body becomes tameh? So that's where we're not sure if the tumah is going to pass the kiddush yadayim raglayim, and after you're tovel and you become tahar, you need to do, in addition to the tevila b'mikvah, also kiddush yadayim raglayim. Or do we say no, tumah it does not pass the kiddush? So yes, you need tevila and a mikvah, you need to undo your tumah, but you don't need an additional kiddush yadayim raglayim. That was the whole shaila. The Achronim raised the question, you know, from the lashon of the Braisa, it says kiddush yadav raglav v'nitme'u, right? We had a beferish of Braisa that if kiddush yadav raglav and nitme'u. So what's nitme'u? Nitme'u clearly means the adayim v'raglayim. Mat bilan clearly means the adayim v'raglayim. Now, then the Gemara says, but what would be if your whole body becomes tamei. So according to the Tzad in the Gemara, that even if kol gufa becomes tamei, you're not going to need another kiddush yadayim raglayim. Why would this Bryce have to teach me a chiddush that if your hands become tamei, you're not going to need an additional kiddush? That Bryce is clearly only about the hands. In fact, we were so clear that Bryce was only about the hands becoming tamei, that's how we knew that our shaila couldn't have been about the hands, because there's a perish of Bryce. But this sort of just shifts the question, because if the answer about nitma kol gufo is that you're not going to need another kiddush yadayim raglayim, then kal v'chomer when nitma only yadav, when only yadayim are nitma, you're not going to need another kiddush yadayim raglayim. So that's a kasha that the Achronim deal with. Okay, but says the Gemara further now. So we know what our shaila is now. Our shaila is not what happens if after kiddush yadayim raglayim your hands become tamei. Our shaila is what happens if after kiddush yadayim raglayim you become tamei, your whole body becomes tamei. So clearly you have to be matari yourself. But do you need another kiddush yadayim raglayim? Says the Gemara, that can't be the suffix. Kol gufo, typically, kiven the bayil lemevet harav shemesh asuchim esachtaite. If the whole body became tamei, even without nitma gufo, the kohen would have to be mekadesh yad v'ragla for a side reason. Since the kohen is going to have to wait for harav shemesh, meaning as part of the tara process, when his entire body becomes tamei, he's going to have to wait for nightfall, because it's full yom that doesn't have harav shemesh is not allowed to do avoda. So anyway, he's going to have to wait a long time. Isn't that by definition going to constitute a hesach hadas from the shmira over the kiddush yadayim raglayim? So how could it be a suffix whether he needs a new kiddush yadayim raglayim? Maybe in Echonami, the tumma itself doesn't passel the kiddush yadayim raglayim, but you know what does passel it? The hesach hadas that automatically comes along with every tumma, because he's going to have to wait for harav shemesh. So says Marek Kugondit me samuch lishkei sechama. Maybe the waiting for harav shemesh was such a short period of time that it wouldn't constitute a hesach hadas. Maybe the kohen became tamei just before Shkiyas HaChama, so he's tovel right then, and then he just waits for Harav Shemesh, which is not a very long time at all, when it's already right at the end of the day, and therefore there's no Hesach Hadas. So our Shaila is it inherent to Tuma that it's going to ruin Kiddush Yadayim V'Raglayim when there's no Hesach Hadas? So now the Gemara tries to answer the Shaila. So Tashma, we have a Machlokas that we've mentioned before about Para Aduma. Para, Rabbi Chiya, Rabbi Yosef, Amar, Mekadesh, B'Klisharis, B'Fnim, V'Yotze. But the Rabbi Chiya, Rabbi Yosef holds that the Kohen is Mekadesh Yad V'Raglav, using Dafka Klisharis in the Azara, and then he goes out to Harazesim to do everything that he needs to do with the Para Aduma. Rabbi Yochanan Amar, Afilu Bachutz, V'Afilu B'Klichol, he could do Kiddush Yadayim Raglayim outside of the Azara, even with a kli that's not kli sharis, va'afilu b'makeda shel cheres, even with a lowly type of kli, a kli cheres, which is not even ra'ui to possibly potentially become a kli sharis, v'hapara d'tmi mitminanle. It says where, you know, one of the procedures of what we do with the kohen who's doing the para aduma is that we are mitamehim on purpose. So d'tmi mitminanle d'tnan, because the Mishnah says in the seventh parak of Maseches Para, they would dafka be mitame the kohen who's going to burn the para, and then they would be tovelim in a mikvah before he burns the para, so that he'll be tahar at the time of the sreifa sapara. Well, wait a second, why would we be mitame him just so that he will then be mitired him? Lahotzi miliban shel tzdukim sheyu omrim b'morei v'shemesh haisana'a says, because we dafka wanted to create this situation where the kohen will be a tevul yom, because the halacha is that a tevul yom before having harav shemesh is kosher for para aduma, but the tzdukim used to say that he's not. So in order lahotzi miliban shel tzdukim, to make a point that against the tzdukim that a kohen is a tevul yom is kosher for para aduma, we would dafka use a kohen who has harav shemesh. So since there would be mitami the kohen on the harazesim before the sreifa sapara, after he was ready mekadesh yad v'raglav, shmamino lo pasla batuma. You see very clearly that the tuma didn't ruin his kiddush yadayim v'raglayim, because what was the point of doing the kiddush yadayim v'raglayim before he ever does any avoda? We're going to be mitami him after that. So obviously that tuma didn't undo the effects of the previous kiddush yadayim v'raglayim. the achronim, the mitzvah eisa, in the back of the Gemara, asks the kasha, what's the Gemara's raya from Parah that tumah doesn't pass al kiddush? This tumah that they would be mitamihim is only a tumah midrabanan. Tosfos writes in Yuma Dav Beis. So it could be that that type of tumah is not going to ruin the kiddush. But if it were an actual tumah d'oraisa, maybe in a chinami, that would ruin the kiddush of daim raglaim. So the mitzvah eisa says that according to the shitas harambam, the suffix of the Gemara, the whole issue in our Gemara, our entire sugya, the Rambam makes clear in the fifth parak of Bias Migdash, is only about Tumat Rabbanan, that it doesn't require Harav Shemesh. And that's why we dafka chose the case of Para to be poshet the suffix, that the whole sugya is really not about Tumat Daraisa, it really is about Tumat Rabbanan. So that's the discussion that you have in the Mishnah and Para, and the Rishonim are there, exactly what would they do to be Metame, this guy, this Kohen, who was involved in the Parah. It's a Machlokas Rishonim. The Mishnah in Parah says that the Ziknei Yisrael would be Somech Yideyam al Rosho, and they would say, Ishi Kohen Gadol Tavol. They would say, Go be Tavol. And the Rash and the Bar Tanura say that was the Tumah that they were Metameh in, because Big Day Ochle Kodesh are Medrus Lechatas, meaning the din is that even Begadim of those who eat Kodesh and are careful that their Begadim not become Tameh, Legabe Chatas, we consider their Begadim to be Tameh. The Chacham made a Takana that someone who touches them is going to have to be Metar himself, like he's Nitmat Betumas Medrus. So the Tumah that they were Metameh in was not a Tumah D'Oraisa. It was a Tumah Midrabam, Midivrei Kabbalah, and that's what Tosfos writes as well. Tosfos writes in a number of places in Shas over here in Masechus Yuma, they were not mezalzel in the parah so much that they'd be mitame a person lechachila, but tumah midoraisa. No, it was a tumah midrabanan. But Tosfos Yontif says, well, if the whole thing was only the hotzi melibush l'tzedukim, and the tumah that the chacham were mesakein is only a tumah midrabanan, well, you didn't do anything to the tzedukim. The tzedukim don't think tumah midrabanan exists. The tzedukim are only interested in what it says in the Torah. So you were not motzi. I mean, the whole point is, we're going to show you that this could be done with a tefil yom. According to the tzedukim, you know what they call the guy that you were just matami and went to the mikvah? He's not a tefil yom. They just call him a regular Torah person, because they're not goreis the entire tumah. So that's why some of the Rishonim suggest, no, that there is an actual tumah d'oraisa that's taking place. So that's the background to that discussion. But anyway, back in our Gemara, just to again, back in the simple pshat in our Gemara, we had the shaila. If a person did kiddush adayim raglayim, does his body becoming tamei ruin the effects of the kiddush adayim raglayim, where he's now going to need to do another kiddush adayim raglayim? And we had a great raya, paraduma, that the guy does kiddush adayim raglayim, and then we're metamei him on purpose, and then he gets to do the avodah without doing a subsequent kiddush adayim raglayim. So you see that tumah does not ruin it. Says Gemara, not such a great raya. Shiny para hold tvul yom lo pasalba. You can't bring a raya from para, from what is allowed by para, to say that such things are allowed for other avodas as well. By para duma, even the tvul yom is allowed to do the avodah. That's what we're trying to be motzi mishal tzedukim. So, and yet in all the other avodas, in the mikdash tvul yom is not allowed to do the avodah. So maybe for the kiddush adayim raglayim necessary for para, tumah is not going to ruin that kiddush adayim raglayim. But maybe kiddush adayim raglayim that's necessary for any other real avodah in the mikdash, tumah will ruin such a kiddush adayim raglayim. Says Gemara, ihachi lam li de mekadesh. Well, if it's just, if paradum is not real avodah anyway, then why does he have to do kiddush adayim raglayim? Well, kein avodah v'inan. We need to put on a good show. We need to make it look like it's one of the other avodahs. So, but it's not exactly the same as the other avodahs, and therefore we don't have a good raya. So that's the end of that discussion. So now the Gemara raises a new shayla. Ibayiluhu, ma'ulu kadosh yavda v'raglav bakiyar. What would be the din if the Kohen doesn't want to wash his hands from the waters of the kiyar pouring over his hands, but rather he wants to stick his hands and feet into the kiyar? Is that going to be good enough? Because the pasuk says, "Barach tzu aron levanu mimenu es yidei mesra klayim." So the Gemara says, "Mimenu amirachmana velo b'tocho." Does "mimenu" mean that yes, you take from the waters, but not into the waters? Odilma afilu b'tocho, or maybe it means even b'tocho. So Asemis raises the point that the Gemara in Daf Yutes The Gemara in Daf Yutesed said that the mayim of the kir, that you need the mayim in the kir in order to be mekadesh four kohanim at one time. So if you could be mekadesh betocha kir, it should be enough water for kiddush of one kohen, because by sticking the hands of the kohanim, the water will come out, and four other kohanim could then be mekadesh from it. So the Torah, the shear of arba kohanim, seems to prove that you can't be mekadesh betocha kir, that it has to come outside of the kir. So the Sfasemis deals with how this fits with that discussion. But anyway, our shayla is mimenu and lo betocho, or maybe mimenu afilu betocho. Amar Rav Nachman Yitzchak Tashema. So Gemara says, we'll bring a raya from a sugya we did yesterday. We said a kohen who did not wash kiddush adayim raglayim is mekadesh b'kli sharis b'fnim, kiddush b'kli sharis, but if he's mekadesh b'kli sharis b'chutz or a kli chol b'fnim. O shetoval b'mei ma'ara, or all he does is he's toval b'mei ma'ara, which are not mayim chayim and are not really kosher for tevila, v'avad, and then he does the avodah so psula. That's not good enough. So what can we be medayik from telling me that if he's toval b'mei ma'ara, it's not good enough for kiddush adayim raglayim? Ha'mei kiyar dumya d'mei ma'ara. If he were to do the same physical process, but with waters that were better waters, with mekiyar that is good and in a kli sharis, it's in the kiyar. So va'avad, and he does avodah sukshera. The implication is that it would be kosher. Meaning, when would it be bad if it's a tevila in mei ma'ara? Sounds like if it's a tevila, but not in mei ma'ara, in better waters, in mei kiyar, that would be perfectly fine. So don't you see, sticking his hands and his feet into the kiyar is good enough? Says Amar Lav, that's not a good deal. Mei ma'ara it's strichle. There's a chiddush in Dafka giving a case of mei ma'ara, shelo tomer kol gufo tov ben yodav rag v'lo kolish kein. Because one might have said, if a person could be tovel his entire body in mei ma'ara, and it's metaher his entire body from tumah, then for sure yodav raglav, it's good, the tevila is going to work for kiddush yodayim raglayim, because mei ma'ara are kasher for tevila. But what you can't do is you can't do tevila in the mei kiyar. So that's why we dafka mention mei ma'ara. You might have thought that mei ma'ara has greater powers of being metaher, because it could be metaher if a person is tovel kol gufo in it. So you might have thought that for sure then it's got to count for kiddush yadayim raglayim. It's got to be good enough for kiddush yadayim raglayim, and that's the chiddush about mei ma'ara. Now there is a discussion. The Shulchan Aruch writes in Hilchos Netilas Yadayim, it's in the Kuf Mentes Siv Ches, that if a person is machnas yado l'toch kli shel mayim, a person sticks his hand, not instead of using the washing cup to pour the water over his hands, he sticks his hands in the washing cup or in a fountain or something, and he's meshach sheikh yadav. So if the kli is mechubi l'karka, the netila absolutely does not work. But if it's not mechubi l'karka, says Shulchan Aruch, yesh omrim v'yesh omrim. Yesh omrim that it works, v'yesh omrim that it doesn't work. B'shas al-chak, it could be somech on the matirim, he says. But if you then later come across a proper opportunity to do netilas yadayim, so then you should do netilas yadayim again the second time without a bracha, just in case it worked the first time. So the shita, the yesh omrim, that it does work al yidei shichshuch, is the shita of the bahag. And it's quoted in Tosos and Maseches Chulin, Daf Kuf Zayin, in the Rush, in the 8th parak of Chulin. Where does he get it from? The Shichshuch, sticking your hands in, being Meshach Sheikh, might work. So they point out that it's based on our sugya, where the Gemara is not sure. Is the Kohen able to be Mekadesh Yadav Raglav B'toch HaKiyur? That's sad to say that Kiddush Yadayim Raglayim is possible B'Shichshuch B'toch HaKiyur, because by Kiddush Yadayim Raglayim, there's a special Gzeres HaKasuv. Mimenu V'lo B'tocho, that it has to Daf Kuf Menu. By Netilas Yadayim, there's no such Gzeres HaKasuv. So maybe by Netilas Yadayim, it would be good enough, because there is no pasuk that says mimenu v'lo b'tocho. The institution of Netilas Yadayim is only midrabanan. All the Rishonim that argue on the Bahag, which is the majority of them, would say, no, of course there's no gzeres hakasuv, of course it's rabbanan. Called the Tiknu Rabbanan, Ke'en Dal Raisa Tiknum. Anytime the Rabbanan make a Din Rabbanan, they pattern it after a Din Dal Raisa. So yeah, there's no Pasuk Mimenu. But the Pasuk of Mimenu is good enough for Netilas Sidayim as well. That just like Men of Lo B'tocha by Kiddush Yadayim Raglayim, Netilas Sidayim is patterned after Kiddush Yadayim Raglayim. And we would also say the same Svara of Mimenu V'lo B'tocha. And therefore, the Me'ikar Adin, Shulchan Aruch Paskins, more appropriate to be machmir on the shayla like the rov rishonim. It's just that if you have no other choice, maybe there's what to be samech on, like the minority of rishonim, that you could stick your hands into a kli. Okay, now the Gemara goes back to the psulina of the waters of the kiyar. And which essentially means that if the waters stay out in the kiyar all night, you can't use those waters next day to be mekadesh yadayim v'raglayim for the avoda. So what does it mean, stays out all night? When did the kiyar have to be sunken underground back into the well? What was the key moment that it has to be there in order that it shouldn't be ruined? So three shittos. Amar Rav Chiya bar Yosef, make your nifsalin lematirin kamatirin le'ivarim ke'ivarim. What does that mean? If a person wants to be mekadesh yadayim v'raglayim for things that are matirin, dam, kmitza, such avodos can only be done during the day, so therefore the mekir become pasul as soon as nightfall, as soon as you have shkia sachama. But leivarim keivarim, if the reason you're being mekadesh yadav v'raglav is to be maktir evarim, which is an avoda that's dafka done at night, so then shkia sacham is not going to ruin the mekiyor for that, because this is avoda that's meant for night. So when is the mekiyor going to be ruined for kiddush adayim v'raglayim of such avodas? Only at alos hashachar, the next morning. The timing is based on what your kiddush adayim v'raglayim is for. So according to Rabbi Chiya bar Yosef, sinking the kiyor before alos hashachar is going to work for evarim, but it's not going to. So the water is not going to be totally ruined, but it's not going to work for the avodos and the matir and for the avodos during the day. And if you sink the kiyor before shkias hachama and take it out during the night, that water will be possible right away for the matirin, because anything that's possible b'shkias hachama is going to be possible also at any point during the night. So if at any point during the night it's outside of the bar, the mayim becomes possible for the matirin. Rav Chista Amar Af the Matirin Ein Nifsalin El Bamar Shachar Kevari. He says no, there's only one time that's critical, and that is Amar Shachar, and that those waters will be perfectly kosher for any sort of Kiddush Adayim Raglayim, as long as at that moment of Amar Shachar the waters were sunken underground. That everything is dependent on Amar Shachar. And then a third shita, Rabbi Yochanan Amar Kiyor Kivan Sheshiko Shuv Ein Maleu. That once at Shkia Sachama you had it sunken in the ground where the waters aren't going to become possible by Shkia Sachama, can't take it out at any point in the middle of the night. You got to leave it underground from Shkia all the way through the night. So it seems Rabbi Yochanan holds, if you take it out in the middle of the night, it's going to entirely passel the water. Not like the first sheet that it will passel only as far as the matirin are concerned, but not as far as the evarim are concerned, as long as you get it back in there by Elos HaShachar. No, if at any point during the night the water comes out of the bar, it's going to be possible for everything. Wait, Rabbi Yochanan, you're telling me that the Mekir are going to be possible b'shkia sachama legamri, and even for avodas laila, for the Akhtar Sevarim, it's not going to be usable if the water was not sunk in the ground at shkia sachama? V'am Rabbi Asi, am Rabbi Yochanan, m'shmei de ilfa, but Rabbi Asi says, Rabbi Yochanan quoted ilfa, that kiyor shloshiko mi be'erev, if you have a kiyor that was not sunken in the bar, and in the evening before shkia sachama, mekadesh mimenu la avodas laila, the kohen is able to be mekadesh from its waters for the avoda of that night. Ulamachar eino mekadesh, but if he wants to do avodas hayom with that water, that's no good, because the water became pasul for avodas hayom when it was still outside at shkia sachama. So you see that Rabbi Yochanan holds the water becomes pasul at shkia sachama only for the matirin, for the avodas hayom, not for the evarim, not for the avodas halayla. That's only at alos hashachar, which, by the way, is the exact shita of Rabbi Chiya bar Yosef. That was the exact shita, the first shita. So how can we say that Rabbi Yochanan holds differently? So says the Gemara, you're right. Rabbi Yochanan really holds that the mayim becomes pasul at shkia sachama only for the avodas hamatirin, and it's at alos hashachar for the avodas he'evarim. May enu ma'aleu nami dekamar, when Rabbi Yochanan says that the kiyar, once it's sunken in the ground at shkia sachama, ein ma'aleh, you know what he means? La'avodas yom, avodas laila chazi. He means that if you take it out at any point, it's not going to help, because avodas yom, it's already been ruined. That if it's, that if you take it out at any point in the middle of the night, that will ruin it for avodas yom. That will ruin it, because avodas yom, the kiyar has to be sunken underground at Shkia and at every point during the night. If it ever comes out at any point during the night, it's not going to be good for Avodas Yom. But for Avodas Laila, it's going to be perfectly fine. So says Gemara, but now we're stuck. Now that we've retranslated Rabbi Yochanan a little bit, Ihachi, Haimed Rabbi Chiya Bar Yosef. Opinion number one and opinion number three are the exact same opinion, that Rabbi Yochanan is not offering a third shita. So what's the difference between Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Chiya Bar Yosef? So says the Gemara, Ike Beinayu, Gzeiras Shikua. The difference between Rabbi Chiya Bar Yosef and Rabbi Yochanan is that Rabbi Yochanan holds, Minatora, the water does not become pasul belaila for anything, not for matirin, not for evarim. It's a gezeras chachamim that the kior has to stay sunken in the bar all night and not to take it out at all, a gezera. Why? Because we're afraid that if you take it out in the middle of the night, you may not sink it back down into the ground before Alos HaShachar. A gezera midrabanan. The water is kadosh, and we have to be careful not to passel the water, just like all other kachim. It hasn't yet been ruined. But if you're mal of the kir belaila, and then you get it back in there before Alos HaShachar, it actually would not become passel, because it's all a gezera midrabanan that we don't allow. So that's why Rabbi Yochanan says, Kior Sheshiko Ein Ma'aleihu. He's telling us our behavior, what we're not allowed to do. We're not allowed to be Mal'it. He does not say it's Pasul, because on a Daraisa level, it does not become Pasul just by being out in the middle of the night. Just Ein Ma'aleihu, we're not allowed to take it out. And that's always the Lashon of Adin D'Rabbanan, is always the Lashon of what the Gavra is supposed to do. It's instructions for the person. Dinim Daraisa are a statement about the Chefza. This is Pasul, right? That's a Sukkah L'malam Echaf Amma. The Tosfos at the beginning of Masechta Sukkah says that the difference between the lashon that we use for a sukkah and the lashon that we use for a mavui, that when it comes to a sukkah l'malam echaf amma, we say psula, sukkah's pasul. When it comes to a mavui, a beam on top of a mavui also needs to be within 20 amos. Says l'malam echaf amma, you should lower it. Mashpila, you should lower it. What do you mean? Why not say it's pasul? Or why by the sukkah? Don't you say just lower it? Because a sukkah is a din d'oraisa. Whenever we talk about a din d'oraisa, we describe the chefza. The Chefza is pasul. When we talk about a din d'rabbanan, Tosfos points out at the beginning of Masechta Sukkah, we don't describe the Chefza. We tell you what to do about it. This fits very well with the Nesivus in Reish Lamed Aleph, where the Nesivus says that every din d'oraisa is a din in the Chefza, and every din d'rabbanan is a din in the Gavra. Every din d'oraisa, only the Ribbono Shel Olam could say what something is, that built into the Bria, it has these qualities of Isser. But the Rabbanan do not have the rights to tell us that. The Rabbanan have the right to tell us to be obedient, to listen to the Rabbanan. Lack of obedience is a violation of every din to Rabbanan. Every din to Rabbanan is only, the whole violation is the fact that we weren't obedient. That's the Chiddush of the Nesivus, that if a person violates a din to Rabbanan b'shogeg, he hasn't done anything wrong, because inherently he hasn't done anything. The whole issue is disobedience. But if it was b'shogeg, he wasn't really disobedient. Okay, but anyway, that's what Rabbi Yochanan holds. But Ruchia Bar Yosef would say that midoraisa, the mekir is going to become pasul if it's out at any point during the night. It's going to be pasul and matirin. So that's why the taking the waters out of the bar in the middle of the night is not a gzeira. Because if you take it out in the middle of the night, you're not going to be able to use that water for any of the avodos hadam, any of the matirin, any of the avodos hayom. And that's why he uses the word nifsalin. So now the Gemara is going to question first the sheet of Rabbi Yochanan, and then the sheet of Rav Chisda. So says Gemara, you mean to tell me that according to Rabbi Yochanan, you can you're supposed to leave the kior sunken underground all night? Vam Rabbi Yochanan, didn't Rabbi Yochanan teach us kiddush yadav the Trumas Hadeshen, that if at the very end of the night the Kohen who's going to do the Trumas Hadeshen is mekadish yadav raglov lemachar, when it becomes light outside and he wants to do other avodos, Ein sarach lekadish akvar kiddush mitchilas avoda. He doesn't need to do a new kiddush yadayim raglayim, because the kiddush he did at the end of the night for the Trumas Hadeshen is going to work for the avodas hayom as well, because the Trumas Hadeshen is the tchilas avodas hayom. If Rabbi Yochanan holds that being malad the kir for the kiddush of the Trumas Hadeshen, you're malad the kir just for the kiddush of the Trumas Hadeshen, and then right away you'd sink it back underground, Rabbi Yochanan should have mentioned that after the kiddush you need to sink the kir back underground. From the fact that he doesn't mention shikua, he doesn't mention that after the kiddush yadayim raglayim of the Trumas Hadeshen to sink it back underground, sounds like he doesn't hold that there's such a gezeira of shikua. So that's difficult according to what we're understanding, Rabbi Yochanan. It says, Rav Elazar, Rabbi Shimon, so ha-karebi. If you say like Rava that the whole statement of Rabbi Yochanan with regard to Trumas Hadeshen was only like the sheet of Rav Elazar, Rabbi Shimon, that Kiddush Daim Raglayim doesn't become possible at Alos HaShachar at all. So you could say, yeah, the Maimer of Rabbi Yochanan about the Kiyor that was sunken underground, never taking it out of the ground all night, follows the other sheet. It follows the sheet of Rabbi that Kiddush Daim Raglayim does become possible al Yidei Lina, and therefore the Mea Kiyor would also become possible al Yidei Lina. Meaning it's not a stira in Rabbi Yochanan, because in one place Rabbi Yochanan was talking within the shita of Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon, and the other place he's talking within the shita of Rabbi. Ella Abaye, demukim lakarebi. But according to Abaye, who said that the memor of Rabbi Yochanan about the Trumas Hadeshen follows the shita of Rebbe, that Kiddush Daim Raglayim does become Pasalayu Deilina, and therefore the Mayim of the Kiyor also becomes Pasalayu Deilina. The fact that you don't have to be Mekadesh the next day after you're Mekadesh for Trumas Hadeshen is only because Lina is a Din Rabbanan. So therefore, from Kros HaGever until the morning, Lina is not going to Pasal. So the Mayim that is Pasal Midaraisa, you certainly can't say such a Svarim Mikros HaGever Yad Safra Lo Pasal Lina. It would be Pasal at Alos HaShachar, and therefore Kasha Derebi Adderebi, there's a stira in Rabbi Yochanan what Rebbe's Shita is. Maishna Hasam Dimashakale, why by the Kiyor does he say it needs to be sunk in underground in order that the water doesn't become possible? Or Maishna Hacha Dilomashakale, and by the Trumas Hadeshen he doesn't mention anything about sinking the water underground. Says the Gemara, yeah, it doesn't mention it, but it's sort of understood. We have to explain that Rabbi Yochanan by the Trumas Hadeshen that they would take the kiyor out of the bar before the Trumas Hadeshen to be Mekadesh Yad Varaglav, and then right after the Trumas Hadeshen they would sink the kiyor back underground. So Rabbi Yochanan holds there is a Gzeirah Shikua. Why doesn't he mention it by the Kiddush Daim Raglayim of the Trumas Hadeshen? Because it just wasn't talking about the kiyor over there. It was talking about the halachos of Kiddush Daim Raglayim. So it's not going to mention every detail of what happens to the kiyor in that context. Says Gemara Ihachi, if Rabbi Yochanan holds that the water does not become possible at all, Bishkia Sachama, when Rabbi Yochanan says in the name of Ilfa, a kir shlo shakumi be'erev, your Mekadesh men avodas laila, and lemachar eino Mekadesh, amai. Why does he say you can't be Mekadesh with it lemachar? The water didn't become possible, you should be able to be Mekadesh with it. Meaning the Gemara assumes that the reason that lemachar eino Mekadesh is because you can't be Mekadesh with water that wasn't underground, that's at Shkiyas HaChama, and it's going to become possible that water that was not underground at Shkiyas HaChama is going to be possible to wash from for the Avodah Samatirin. So if Rabbi Yochanan holds that it does not become possible, why not be Mekadesh with it? So the Gemara answers, Ein Sarech Lekadesh. No, when he says Lemachrein Mekadesh, it doesn't mean that you're not able to be Mekadesh with it. You are able to. What he means to say is you don't need to be Mekadesh with it because your original Kiddush was good enough. That, like Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon held, that there's no psulina on the original Kiddush. So you mean to say that according to Rabbi Yochanan, the water does not become possible at night even to do avodus hamatirin? So it says Gemara, Hainu Rav Chista. Well, then he holds exactly like Rav Chista that Shkiyas HaChama is not going to cause a problem of lina at all. That only Amud HaShachar is the key time that causes lina. So whereas previously we thought Rabbi Yochanan's shita matched shita number one, that shita number three matched shita number one, now we think shita number three matches shita number two, that it matches Rav Chista. So Ika Benayu mitzvah shikua. No, the nafkamina between Rav Chista and Rabbi Yochanan is that according to Rav Chista, there's no mitzvah at all to be mishakeya the kiyor at night, to sink the kiyor in the ground at night, because the water will not become possible at Alos HaShachar. Only Samach Alos HaShachar they would sink it in, and then they would be mala it after Alos HaShachar. Whereas according to Rabbi Yochanan, there's a mitzvah at least to be Meshakeya mi be'erev, in order that when you come to Mekadesh for the Trumas Hadeshen before Alos HaShachar, it will already be underground, and you're not going to forget to put it back underground when you're done doing the Trumas Hadeshen. I mean, you're going to put it back where you found it. So according to Rabbi Yochanan, there's Din Drabanan that when you come to do the Trumas Hadeshen, you should find the kiyor underground so that you'll remember to put it back where you found it, so that it will be underground at the time of Alos HaShachar. So Meisvei Tisvei, the Gemara asks on Rav Chista now, we say in the Mishnah Maseches Tamid that lo hayu ro'en oso, that the other Kohanim would not see the Kohen who's going to do the Trumas Deshen v'lo Shomon Eskolo, and they wouldn't hear him when he went into the Azara to do the Kiddush Adayim Raglayim until at Sheshomim Kol Shel Eitz Sha'asa Ben Katan Mukhni Lakir, until they heard the lowering and raising of the Kir. Ve'enom Rigeis Kiddush Adayim Raglayim in a Kir. And they would say, ah, it must be that he's doing Kiddush Adayim Raglayim now. My love the Mesalik Le Alma Meshakele. Isn't it that they heard the raising of the Kir from the ground? And doesn't that therefore prove that it was previously sunken underground? You're telling me that according to Rav Chista, the Kir does not need to be sunken underground. No, over here we're saying that they would hear it being lifted. It says, they heard it being sunken underground after he was done. They didn't hear it being lifted out of the ground. But does sinking it in the ground cause any noise? So it says, yeah, there would be this this wheel that they would roll that would make it, that would be noisy. That he would dafka do it in a noisy way so that it could be heard. And then the Kohanim would hear the call, would come, and they would know that the time for Kiddush Adayim Raglayim has already arrived. So it says, Mar, why did they need the noise coming from the Kiyar in order to know what was going on? Wasn't there a guy named Gvini who was Machriz, who would scream out, Dimdu Kohanim Lavadaskam, Levim Luduchanim, Yisolam Amadchem? So they'd have an announcer. So says Mar, Betreya Keri, Hava Avdi, Deshame Mehai Asi, Veshame Hai Asi. Always good to have more than one hacker. Sometimes a person only hears one, so always good to have more than one reminder. You know, you send out a single email reminder for something, it gets ignored. You have to send several reminders, several times. A person hears something, and then you have a better chance that they'll actually remember it. Okay.